Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you forever, because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and he is held in awe above all gods. Great is the Lord, he is most worthy to be praised. He revered above all the gods. Give honor to the Lord for glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Amen. Proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world by honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministers, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com, our online bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com, our online Bible college at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org, our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries and the Tony Owens Ministries, Inc. at www.reverseofrevival.com. And as we continue on this spiritual journey, celebrating the Easter season, and today is Resurrection Day, House of Christ Ministries, Inc. is a member of the Tony Owens Ministries, Inc. We are an apostolic ministry that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ through a variety of mediums, from our social broadcast every Sunday and Wednesdays, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world by honoring the Great Commission at 8:30 p.m. on www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis, to our monthly mailing lessons, to our social Christian network, our online Bible Institute and Bible College, our posting of Words of the Day on numerous websites. We are reaching hundreds throughout the world for Jesus Christ. It is our desire to take the uncompromised and anointed Word of God to the whole world, starting with our local community, bringing lost souls to a practical relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission at House of Christ Ministries is to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and prepare believers and non-believers how to live independently and have dominion to reign over the enemies of this world. We encourage you to sow into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning souls for the kingdom. Your prayer and financial support are an important component to bringing the gospel to the world. Together we can make a difference. If you would like to send your prayer request or share a testimony or make a donation or love offering, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. As we continue on this spiritual journey, we were in the process of continuing the series Supernatural Faith, but in celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will focus our attention and teachings to that lesson tonight. So the lesson for tonight is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today, Christians all over the world celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many of those celebrating might not have an understanding or its significance. They go through the flow. The word resurrection means returning to life. The Old Testament says little about the resurrection, although a few people were restored to life. The following scriptures speaks about it. 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 through 24. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 18 through 37. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 21. Psalms 49, verse 14 through 15. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 3 through 14. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ raises people from the dead. Luke chapter 8, verses 49 through 55. John chapter 11, verses 43 through 44. He also predicts his own resurrection in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, and Mark chapter 8, verse 31, and Luke chapter 9, verse 22. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the young Messiah, was dead. He died on the eve of the Passover, Friday, April 7th, AD 30, approximately 3 p.m., on a Roman cross on a hill overlooking an old stone quarry just north of Jerusalem, a place called the Skull. Most biographies and with the person's death, not this one. Jesus Christ's followers intended to give him a decent burial, but they got the surprise of their lives. His enemies also got the surprise. His enemies got the mother of all headaches. The case against believing sinners were thrown out, and the living church was born. A decent burial. Mark chapter 15, verses 42 through 43 says, "And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus." A member of the Sanhedrin, who dissented against the decision to condemn Jesus Christ, appeared at Pilate's office to ask that the body of Jesus Christ be released to him. Joseph, his name, was joined by Nicodemus, a Pharisee, which was another dissenting council member, according to John chapter 19, verse 39. "And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight." Mark chapter 15, verses 44 through 47 says, "And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulchre, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone onto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joses, or Joses, beheld where he was laid." Decency and disgrace. Customary Jewish burials took place immediately in the family tomb. The burial was followed by a week of intense grieving called Shiva 7, then a month or less intense mourning called Shlashim 30. The family continued to mourn for a year. Because Jesus Christ died as a criminal, different rules applied. One, an executed criminal could not be buried in his family's tomb until a year after death. Many were buried in common graves, or even thrown in the city garbage dump to burn with the trash. Number two, no public mourning was allowed for an executed criminal. While Joseph and Nicodemus honored Jesus Christ by caring for his body, in actuality, his burial conformed to the prohibitions. The final task in the burial was to roll a large stone over the opening to the cave Mark chapter 15, verse 46. As the sun was setting, the two disciples completed their sad work and left, following Joseph and Nicodemus to the tomb, and last to leave the burial site were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joses. Matthew chapter 7, verses 62 through 66. Now the next day, that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, and make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stones and setting a watch. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 4. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. At the crack of dawn Sunday, a group of women headed to Joseph's tomb with spices to offset the stench of the decaying body. Before they got there, the grave guards suddenly got all shook up by a violent earthquake while they were looking around for something to hang onto. A dazzling personage appeared from nowhere with a flick of his little finger, rolled the boulder away from the cave, and sat on it. By the time the women arrived, the guards had left for the city. There was nothing for them to guard. He was gone. Mark chapter 16, verses 4 through 6 says, And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, Be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Finding the grave open, they went in, expecting to find the body of Jesus Christ. Suddenly, a figure in bright garments stood beside them, and they were terrified. The angel spoke to the woman, saying, and he said unto them, be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. The women were so rattled by what they had seen and heard. They deserted the grave. The vision of angels. The announcement that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. They were speechless at first. But by the time they got to where the disciples were hiding out in Jerusalem, they found the story impossible to keep. Mark chapter 16, verse 7 and 8 says, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you in Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 11 through 15, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel. They gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them.
Thy will, blessed Lord.
Once again to the House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World and Honoring the Great Commission. We are celebrating Resurrection Sunday. The Magdalene Mourner, John chapter 20, verses 14 through 16. And when he had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supporting him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say Master. Mary Magdalene took Peter and John to the tomb. When they left, she stayed behind crying. The angels appeared again inside the tomb, asking, Why was she wailing? And she turned from the cave. Someone was standing there, the gardener. She thought she did recognize Jesus. John chapter 20, verse 16 through 18 says, Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascended unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Mary Magdalene obeyed. She came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. John chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Matthew chapter 28, verses 9 through 10. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. While they were going back to the city to report the mysterious happening to the disciples, Jesus appeared unto them. They dropped their spices on the road, hugged his feet, and worshipped him right there in front of God and everybody. on a 7-mile hike from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a disciple named Cleopas and another disciple found themselves engaged in a conversation for approximately 2 hours about the Old Testament's teaching concerning the necessity of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. Their hearts were warmed as a stranger explained the scripture to them. Luke chapter 24, verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while we talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures, but they recognized it was Jesus. Only after they had gone to Emmaus and were sharing a meal with him. As soon as they knew who it was, he vanished. Even though it was dark, the two hurried back to Jerusalem to share the news with the 11 and others huddling with them in the upper room. The rock sees the risen Redeemer. Luke chapter 24, verses 33 through 34 says, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and it appeared to Simon. When the two from Emmaus arrived, they found a group of almost believers ready to hear their story. Then the risen Christ had also appeared to Peter that day, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. They thought the women were hallucinating. But when Peter reported his encounter, they began to let a little hope trickle. Unexpectedly, while Cleopas related the Emmaus incident to the apostles and disciples, Jesus himself stood in the midst of the gathering. Even then, most of the people couldn't believe it was really Jesus Christ. He did 4 things to convince them. Jesus dragged their nagging doubts and fears out in the open and dealt with them. Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Luke chapter 24, verse 38. Jesus showed them his nail-scarred hands and feet and the wound in his side, to verify he was the crucified one. Luke chapter 24, verses 39 through 40. And John chapter 20, verse 20. Jesus invited them to touch him and eat a piece of broiled fish so they would understand that his resurrection was complete. He was not a disembodied spirit, but the spirit and body. Luke chapter 4, verses 39, and Luke chapter 41, verse 43. Jesus reminded them of his predictions, that he was raised from the dead, and that his rising fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. The Apostle John remembers the trickle of hope turning a river of joy. Before he left them that night, Jesus gave his apostles and other disciples 4 extremely important things. He gave them his shalom, peace to you. John 20, verse 21. He had greeted them this way when he first appeared in the room. Now he repeated it. In his Last Supper talks, Jesus promised them peace more real than the world could ever give. He assured them he would keep the promise as they went out to face the world in his name. He gave the authorization to continue Christ's ministry. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. John chapter 20, verse 21. Christian disciples are sent to do Jesus' thing, not their own thing. The mission of Jesus Christ's followers in the world is not a different mission than his. It is in a different form through men and women who share his resurrection through the Holy Spirit, his corporate body. But it is his work they are being sent to do. He breathes on them and urges them to receive the Holy Spirit to enable them to carry on his ministry. John chapter 20, verse 22. The actual invasion of their lives by the Spirit was a few weeks away. But the context of being told their work was cut out for them, they needed assurance that they were not being sent out without the spiritual resources needed to do the job. Jesus gave the apostles and all Christians authority to deal with other people's sins. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. John chapter 20, verse 23. Jesus teaches us that we should always forgive. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 22. The Apostle Paul writes that when someone is overtaken in any trespass, Christ's followers are to bear the burden of the sinning person in an effort to restore him or her, according to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We have Jesus Christ's assurance that God forgives sinners and that he's hearing their sin, bearing their sin as we are.
By and by. key. Oh Lord, the mountains are fly for sometimes deep.
My Lord and my God. Jesus offered his nail-scarred hands for Thomas to touch, and opened his shirt for Thomas to feel the wound in his side. Thomas didn't need to touch Jesus. Overwhelmed at the sight of him, he blurted out in confession, "My Lord, my God." Thomas did not simply mean he was convinced Jesus Christ was alive. He understood the meaning of the resurrection. The resurrection reveals who Jesus Christ is, his Lord and God. For Thomas was no abstract theological proposition. With the words, "My Lord and my God," Thomas pledged his personal allegiance to Jesus Christ and the Master he would serve and the God he would honor. John chapter 20, verse 29 says, "Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." Beloved, John says that the faith of those that did not see Jesus alive after his resurrection is a solidly based faith of those like Thomas who did see. The written record of Jesus' life and works is in the New Testament. These are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. Believing even when you can't see is an act of faith. And God will bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue on this spiritual journey, our lesson for tonight, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. I pray that it was a blessing to you. If you would like more information on tonight's lesson, or would you like to request copies of previous lessons, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. As we continue to celebrate Resurrection Sunday, we would like to thank you for tuning in tonight, and we hope that you will join us again. At this time, I would like to extend an invitation to you to join me on the Roman road to salvation. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you had previously accepted him and turned away from him, he is waiting to be restored as the Lord and Master of your lives. Beloved, God created us in his own image to have an abundant life. God gave us a will and freedom of choice. We chose to disobey God and go our own sinful way, resulting in separation from God. I encourage you to turn away from the sins of the world and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Woo! If you would like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to join me in this prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you admitting that I am a sinner. Right now, Lord, I choose to turn away from sin, and I ask you to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross to take away my sins. I also believe that he rose again from the dead, so that I might be forgiven of my sins and made righteous through faith in him. I call upon the name of Jesus Christ to be the Savior and Lord of my life. Lord Jesus, I choose to follow you and ask that you will fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. I declare that right now I am a child of God. I am free from sin and full of the righteousness of God. I am saved in Jesus' name. Amen. If you pray this prayer and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Helmand, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. I pray that you will take this commitment seriously. Christ died for our sins. It doesn't matter who you are, what you have done. You are a new creature in Christ. Beloved, be blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus Christ made two important points about power. First, all the earthly and heavenly power and authority he had laid aside in order to take on humanity and mortality were now being given back to him after the successful completion of his redeeming mission. He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Second, spiritual power and authority would soon energize those who believed in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit who would soon invade their lives. The Spirit's presence would give them power to confront evil, to confront evil spirits, speak new languages, risk danger, heal the sick, and boldly carry out his message to the world. Jesus Christ said, "And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through 18. Jesus also gave them the promise of his personal presence. Jesus Christ said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age or end of the world."
Hallelujah.
Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 through 19. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead is not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of men and the most pitiful. Paul wrote those words in about AD 56. In the same passage, he says 500 people at the same time saw Jesus Christ after his resurrection, of whom the greater part remain to the present. The Christian faith rises or falls on the reality that Jesus Christ is alive. If Christ is not alive, the New Testament historians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all the apostles upon whose testimony the Christian faith is based, are liars. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a test question on which the truth or falsehood of the Christian gospel turns. Either it is the greatest miracle that ever happened in the history of the world, or the biggest lie ever told. Beloved, God bless you tonight. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, wishing you a happy and holy Resurrection Day. Join us once again every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the full fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, may rest, remain, and abide with us all. God bless you, and good night.